welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your husband. Go wake up your wife. Go wake up your children. Go wake up that girl. Go wake up that boy. Go wake up your mommy and your daddy and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Go wake them up now. Go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Get them out the bed. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world wherever internet radio can be found. Now go get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Y'all go get them out the bed, sleepyhead. I know what I need to go out here and do. Let me just go get my roosters, because some of y'all not going to get up. I already know it. Y'all done got spoiled. You're not going to get up unless I go get my roosters. I already know that. So I got my roosters waiting. I tell them that y'all be on standby. Yeah. Because they not going to get up until they know that somebody. All right. Thank y'all, roosters. Thank y'all. Y'all know y'all do a good job. Thank you so kindly, Rooster. Let me put y'all back up. Okay, Red. They up. All right. Thank y'all. All right. Let me go get a good song. This is a song by Lee William and the Spiritual QC. It says, "Come See About Me."
To the end, and you never let me down. Oh, Jesus.
that's Lee William and the Spiritual QC saying, come on and see about me. All right. I'm down here and waiting. I'm down here and praying, Lord. Come on and see about me. All right. That's what you need to do. Talk to the Lord. Tell him. Come on, see about me. All right. That's your song for today. Time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We're going to be reading this morning out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11 through Acts chapter 13. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said,
"You went into the house of the uncircumcised and ate with them?"
Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story.
"I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said,
'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'
So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?"
When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying,
"So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up.
"Quick, get up,"
he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him,
"Put on your clothes and sandals."
And Peter did so.
"Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,"
the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said,
"Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen."
When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed,
"Peter is at the door."
"You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said,
"It must be his angel."
But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison.
"Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this,"
he said, and then left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted,
"This is the voice of a god, not of a mere mortal."
Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said,
"Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them."
So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said,
"You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun."
Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. From Paphos, Paul and his companion sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left him to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying,
"Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak."
Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said,
"People of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for. But there is someone coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers and sisters from the children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is also stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you."
As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly,
"We had to speak the word of God to you first, Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
All right. That was our scripture reading for the day. We read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11 through chapter 13. May God bless those who have read and who heard His holy word. All right, it's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. We need to prepare ourselves to come to Jesus. Come on, mama, daddy, sister, brother. Let's make our family circle. You know how we do it. You know how we do it. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. We're going to have prayer. It's time for prayer. Let's pray about it. I don't care what it is. Let's pray about it. Come on, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you once again for giving us another day, a day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace that we have another day. And Lord, we just thank you for waking us up early this morning and for clothing us in our right mind as we have started out this day. Lord, we just thank you for our last weekend, this past weekend, dear God. Thank you, Lord, that you protect us from any hurt and danger, Lord, as we was ripping and running, dear God, back and forth, dear God, doing different things around the house and around the church on Saturday. Thank you, Lord, that all the preparations paid off on Sunday there at the church. We thank you, dear God, for all of those that have received Christ as their personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for those that joined church and the various churches on yesterday. Thank you, dear God, for those backsliders that came on back to you. Now, Lord, as we start out a brand new week and a brand new day, Lord, we don't know what we're going to encounter on this day. We don't know what we're going to encounter on this week. But, Lord, we put it all in your hands. For, Lord, you've already saw what we're going to encounter this week and this day, Lord, because you know the end even before the beginning. And so, Lord, we just trust you, Lord, to lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us on our jobs and our schools and on our various different projects. Whatever we are dealing with, dear God, we ask that you'll just be with us on it, dear God. We just pray, dear God, that everybody can have a good week at work or at school. Lord, we pray for those that are working in hard places, dear God. Lord, we pray for those that have difficult assignments. Lord, we ask that you will give them the strength that they need. Like the songwriter said, Lord, you don't have to remove the mountains, but give all of us the strength to climb. And Lord, we'll just be careful to praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen, and thank God, and thank God. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We done sung our song, we done read our scripture, and we done had our prayer. Clock on the wall is saying, that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for getting up this morning with our roosters. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready now. We're getting ready for the Look in the Book sermon. Get ready for that early morning sermon this morning. I'll play a couple of commercials and then we'll get that on for you. Then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas, in the heart of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama. Real live people make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Oh, you'll love that deeper look in the book, so be listening for it at 11 o'clock today. Then at 12 o'clock, and missing any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we are in your corner.